This morning, we're going to be blessed by the ministry of Dwayne Martin. He is here from Mexico, along with his wife, Julia. Thank you for coming. It's our joy to have you here in-house today. These friends have been deeply involved in our ministries that our teams have been able to do there in Mexico. And you will be blessed by their ministry today, I know. And so let's make them feel really welcome. Dwayne, come, share the living word of God. Give us an update. Give them a nice, warm welcome this morning to Oak Creek Assembly of God.
Thank you. Well, buenos días, ¿cómo están ustedes, mis hermanos y hermanas? Que Dios les bendiga. Me llamo Misionero Don Martín. Tengo mi esposa aquí conmigo hoy, se llama Julieta. Y nosotros tenemos tres hijos. Mi hija mayor se llama Abriela. Abriela tiene 15 años. Tenemos una hija menor, se llama Annika. Annika tiene 12 años. Y tenemos un bebé quien hecho en México. ¡Amén! Gloria a Dios. Pero nació en los Estados Unidos, entonces eres puro mexicano. Pero... ¡Viva México! Amen. Some of you are getting real spiritual going, he's speaking in tongues. There's going to be an interpretation. Speak to me, Lord. Speak to me now, Lord. Yes, I'm listening. All right. I know I gave the guys in the sound booth back there a break who are doing the translation, but I'll do it in English. I said, good morning. My name is Missionary Dwayne Martin. I said, with me this morning is my lovely wife, Julia. If you'll stand and greet everybody there. We have three children, my oldest daughter, Abriela, who is 15 years old, my youngest daughter, Annika, who's 12 years old. Then I said we had a baby who was made in Mexico. Literally. But was born in the United States of America, but he is pure Mexican because every morning you can ask him, Asher, what do you want for breakfast? I want a tortilla, papi. You want some cereal? No, papi, dame un tortilla, por favor. Okay. And so he prefers the food of Mexico as opposed to the United States for some strange reason. But we're your missionaries in the central part of Mexico in an area that's been labeled the heart of darkness. Now, how many of you want to serve in an area labeled the heart of darkness? I'm taking volunteers. Yes, I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that. But the reason why it's called the heart of darkness isn't because of what you would think. It's not because of the cartels, the drugs, and the violence. It's because this area of Mexico is the least evangelized area of all Latin America, with less than 2% evangelical Christian. The state that I live in, the state of Querétaro, has less than 0.25% evangelical Christians. Now, for those of you who aren't math wizards like I am, that means one out of every 400 people have their own personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. They need Jesus. And I like that because I like to talk. And the odds are that the person I'm talking to doesn't know Jesus. So what a great opportunity. My wife and I, we arrived there in 2014, and we had a meeting with the district leadership, and they said, Brother Dwayne, what are you doing here? I said, I'm here to help you plant churches. The Bajío district is made up of three states of Querétaro, Michoacán, and Guanajuato. And in these three states, we only have 98 Assemblies of God churches when we first arrived. They need Jesus. So if you picture the states of Oklahoma, Arkansas, and Louisiana and put them all together, which in those three states, we have over 1,400 Assemblies of God churches. In my district, we only had 98. And they said, what are you doing here? I said, I'm here to help you plant churches. And they said, well, that's a great idea. I said, but we don't have any pastors. I said, well, that's a problem. Can't plant a church if I don't have a pastor. And he said, well, what else could you do for us? And I began to share with him stories of what happened during itineration. Now, for those of you who don't understand, itineration is the time period where missionaries who travel around and they ask pastors if they can come preach and share the gospel and share their heart for the country that they're going to live in. I had a very strange itineration. When God first called us into missions, I did what some of you probably did. I prayed, Lord, is this really you? And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said, when you go to churches, he said, here's what I want you to do. Now, I was the missions pastor at my church. I'd heard horror stories from some of the missionaries. I knew how difficult it was. And I said, Lord, this better be you. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said, when you go to churches, he said, here's what I want you to do. He said, I don't want you to ask for a dime. I said, Lord, that's a very unusual missions message. How many missionaries you know have ever come to this church and said, we're good? Doesn't happen. He said, when you go to churches, he said, here's what I want you to do. He said, I want you to preach Christ, him crucified, and let the Holy Spirit do the rest. I said, Lord, I can do that. Because in my heart, I'm an evangelist. If it worked for the Apostle Paul, it could work for me. In 1 Corinthians, he said, my preaching and my teaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but with power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something, church. The Holy Spirit can do more in 3 seconds than I can in an hour message. That's what he does. God confirms his word with signs and wonders following. And so in our first itineration, we preached in more than 220 churches, but it was worth it. Because right here in the United States, we saw over 900 people surrender their hearts and lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's my Jesus. The Bible says there's only one thing that gets all the angels in hell, in heaven celebrating, and that's when one individual comes into the saving knowledge grace of who Jesus is. And then we pray for the sick. And guess what? Our God is still in the miracle healing working business. He has not changed, church. Just to give you an instance, we were preaching in a Wednesday night service. How many of you know God shows up on Wednesday nights? You don't believe me? Show up and find out. It's his house, right? We're preaching at church on a Wednesday night. I give the altar call. 12 people responded on a Wednesday night, gave their hearts and lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. Then I said, now, if you need a healing touch from God, come down here to the front because we're going to pray for you. 3 people got up out of their seats. Now, I'm okay with that because I'm not a numbers guy. I know what God can do with one. But one of the first people to get up out of their seat was a little 78-year-old grandmother who had an oxygen tank in one hand and a cane in the other. I like it. God moments. She came down to the front, and the Holy Spirit told me to tell her. I said, tell her to get ready to run. I said, Lord, did you see the way she came down here? He said, that's not important. Tell her to get ready to run. See, the Old Testament teaches that obedience brings blessings and disobedience brings curses, and I'd rather be blessed of God than cursed of God. So I did what probably some of y'all did would have done. I took that little woman by the hands, and I whispered it into her ear. Honey, Holy Spirit told me to tell you to get ready to run. You know what happened next, right? You're already ahead of me. She drops the oxygen tank. She drops the cane. She grabs me by the hand. She runs me to the back of the church and back to the front of the church. And the only thing that I could say is I said, honey, the Holy Spirit told me to tell you to run, not me. I wasn't built for stuff like that. But you know what? Everybody ran to the altar, and everybody wanted prayer. And for an hour and a half on a Wednesday night, the Holy Spirit came down so powerful, we couldn't even dismiss the church because the pastor was laid out on the platform. It was God. And I'm sharing that with the superintendent, and tears start to stream down his face. He says, Brother Dwayne, he said, that's what we've been praying for. He said, we need a move of God. He said, we need healthy churches. Would you possibly consider being our district evangelist? I said, if that's what you need, that's what we'll do. But with the idea that if we see an opportunity to plant a church, we're going to plant a church. He said, that's fine. In our first term, in a year and a half that we served in Mexico, we saw over 5,000 people respond to altar calls and give their hearts and lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's my Jesus. And we prayed for the sick. Y nuestro Dios todavía hace milagros. Our God still does miracles. We saw people get up out of wheelchairs and start walking. We saw people blind eyes open, deaf ears open, people with bad backs healed by the anointing and the power of God. Why? Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not changed, church. And you're a part of it. You say, what do you mean by that? Simple. Pastor talked about it earlier, those faith promises. You know what that is? That's your partnership with missionaries. You're saying, I believe in you. And I'm going to partner with you. Why? Because the Apostle Paul laid it out in the book of Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. And it says what? Very famous passage of scripture. What does it say? Oh, somebody got it. You guys read your Bibles here, right? All right, I'll start it and I guarantee every single one of you can finish it with me, right? And it says, and my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. And that's a great passage of scripture. And we preachers, we love to preach that, especially during times of financial hardship, right? My God shall supply, my God shall supply. We sing the song, and my God shall supply all my need. But see, here's what I learned, is you can't take that passage of scripture out of the context in the book in which it is written. So verse 19 is not the same without verse 17. Who can tell me what verse 17 says? Here we go again. We're going to start studying the Bible here at church. Paul says this. He says, not that I'm looking for a gift, but he says, but I'm looking for what may be credited to your account. Verse 18, he says, "For I have received from Epaphroditus the gift that you had sent. It's a sweet-smelling fragrance, a sacrificial offering, well-pleasing unto God, and now I'm more than amply supplied." And then he goes into verse 19 where he says, "And my God shall supply all of my needs." And what the Apostle Paul was saying is the church in Philippi had just sent him a huge missionary offering in order to thrust him out into his next location of ministry. And he says, not that I'm looking for a gift. And can I be honest with you? We missionaries, we don't get rich off of your offerings. Have you ever met a rich missionary? If you have, I want to know him. What the Apostle Paul was saying here, he said, but I'm looking for what may be credited to your account. This is where you come in. This is where your partnership comes in. Because what he was saying, he's saying, as a result of the church in Philippi sacrificially sending me an offering, God wants you to know that every salvation, every life-changing experience, every church plant, everything that's done as a result of you thrusting me out, God credits those salvations back to you. To you. And so when you faithfully write out that faith promise, when you faithfully write out that check, I know it's a sacrificial giving, but Paul said it was going to be. But when you do it, you know what you're doing? You are literally building the kingdom of God all around this world. And the Bible says there's coming a day when we're going to stand before Jesus and we're going to give an account for everything that we've done. And he's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You're going to walk through those pearly gates and there are going to be people from Mexico, people from Central America, people from South America, people from Asia, people from Africa, people from Eastern Europe, people from Russia, people from China who are going to come up to you and say, thank you for what you did. Because of your sacrificial gift, I am here today. So from this missionary to you as a representative of AGWM, I want to say thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. You may say, well, nobody's going to see it. God sees it. And you know what he's doing? He's going, credit, Oak Creek, credit, Oak Creek. Salvation, credit, 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 credit. And when you get in times of financial hardship, you can say, Lord, I need you. And how many of you learned you can't outgive God? You can't outgive God. And when you need it, God says, you got a credit with me. I got you. I got you. Why? Because you're faithful. You're faithful. And so I want to say thank you for that. Now, to more your financial report. How many of you like to hear your financial report? I like to hear about my investments. Okay. This last term we just finished up. We got back in July. And then this last term we saw more than 20,000 people respond to altar calls and give their hearts and lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. Church, that's what we've been doing together. We're building the kingdom of God. The Bible says that those who sit in darkness have seen a great light. And church, I'm here to tell you, in an area that's been labeled the heart of darkness, they're seeing the light, and his name is Jesus Christ. The truth is being preached, and they're responding. Somebody said it's 2% evangelical Christian. I just got the last report. It's now 3% evangelical Christian. God is turning the tide. We've now been able to launch 14 brand new churches. Why? Because Oak Creek Assembly of God came down and helped us build a Bible school. When we first arrived, they had 13 students that were enrolled in the Felipe Hernandez Montoya Bible Institute. And because of us going around and preaching, young people are hearing the call of God and they're wanting to be involved in ministry. They now have 63 students that are enrolled in the Bible school, and most of them are called to be pastors. That's my Jesus. And because of reach teams that came down, we were able to finish up the second floor of the Bible school there. And you guys were supposed to come down in 2020 before this virus thing hit or something. I don't know. We were going to finish up the third floor. But you know what? They haven't slowed down. They're still moving forward. Young people are being educated. They're learning about the call of God. And they're being launched. I have one pastor in San Juan del Rio. Said, Brother Dwayne, he said, I got four Bible school students who are sitting in my congregation. He said, what can I do with them? I said, thrust them out. Plant a church. He said, well, how do we do that? How do we do that? So we began to teach them and we began to mentor them on how to plant churches. And in 1 week, he launched these four guys out from his church. He said, we're going to build a team around these guys and we're going to thrust them out. He only had a church of 100 people. He said, I'm going to thrust people out of my church? What am I going to do? I said, do you believe God can provide? Yes. Then we're going to believe God. And in 1 week, he launched 20 people out of his church of 100. They planted four brand new churches. But how good is our God? A week later, he gets a phone call from an independent pastor in San Juan del Rio and says, "Pastor, something has come up. I've got to go back up to Monterrey. I don't have anybody who can take my congregation. Is it okay if I send them to you?" "Well, how many people do you have?" "I have 100. Don't you like God's math? How many know you can't outgive God? You can't outgive God. When you are faithful with the things of God, God is always faithful to you. He thrusts out 20 people. God gives him another 100. You know what he's doing now? He's launching more churches. He's now planted 7 churches in the district of in the Bajil district out of his little congregation. And every time he sends out people, you know what God does? He brings in more. Why? Because that's God's philosophy. That's how we build the kingdom of God, church. And you're a part of that. And I know when we get back, we'll be able to complete the Bible school, because people from Oak Creek Assembly of God reach teams want to come down and help us do it. Amen? Now, how many of you guys want to come to the least evangelized area of all Latin America? Now, come see what God's doing. It's been amazing. 2 Kings chapter 1. I promise I won't take long. In Latin America, we're used to preaching 3 hours. Why are y'all laughing? 2 Kings chapter 1. This morning I want to talk to you about the call of God. The call of God. Why? Because the call of God is going out. And God's looking for men and women who'll say, just like Isaiah, "Lord, here am I, send me. Send me." I used to love to hear stories of the old prophet Elijah. When I was a kid, the prophet Elijah was my hero growing up. I wanted to be just like the prophet Elijah. You know why? Because he was God's pyromaniac. He could call down fire. I enjoyed listening to those stories. I remember I was about 5 years old, and I was in Royal Rangers, and we were on a camp out, and they preached on the prophet Elijah versus the 450 prophets of Baal. How many remember that story? Great passage of scripture. One man versus 450. Who wants those odds? But with God on your side, who wants those odds? Why? Because if God be for you. Hey, you guys have read the Bible. Awesome. Who can be against you? And I remember the story, the prophet Elijah at Mount Carmel versus the 450 prophets of Baal. The nation of Israel had turned its back on God, but God called to an old prophet and said, "It's time to turn the hearts of the people back to me." And we know the story well. He gets to Mount Carmel and the 450 prophets of Baal are there. He says, "All right, fellas, here's what we're going to do. You prepare a sacrifice and I'm going to prepare a sacrifice. And the God who answers by fire, let him be God in Israel." See, let me tell you something, church. God will only let a nation run so far. And then his call is going to go out to his people and say, "It's time." You know what's happening in the United States? You know what's happening in the world today? The call of God is going out, and he's looking for men and women to step up and say, "Church, it's time. It's time." And the Bible says that the prophet Elijah is there, and he goes, "All right, you prepare a sacrifice. Why don't y'all go first?" There's so many of you. Y'all go first. We know the story. They prepare the sacrifice. They lay it on the altar. They start dancing around it. They start calling on the god Baal. "Oh, Baal, send the fire, send the fire, send the fire." And what happened? Nothing. Why? Because there's only one true God, and his name is not Baal. His name is not Allah. His name is not Krishna. His name is not Muhammad. His name is Jesus Christ. His name is Yahweh. His name is Jehovah. His name is Jesus. The Bible says there's only one name given under heaven whereby men must be saved, and that name is Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no man comes unto the Father except through me." It's only in Jesus, church. The Bible says they cried out and they called on the god Baal, and about noon the old prophet was like, "All right, fellas, you guys going to take all day? I like the boldness. I got an idea. Maybe your God's on vacation. Maybe we should do this. Maybe he's asleep. Maybe you should cry out even louder, provoking them." One man versus 450. Bible says they became even more angry, and they cut themselves, and they bled, and they danced around the altar and screamed even louder, "Baal, send the fire!" And what happened? Nothing. Why? There's only one God. Finally, about the midday, the Bible says the old prophet had enough. And he said, "All right, fellas, you've had your turn. Now it's my turn." The word of the Lord says he picked up 12 smooth stones and he rebuilt the altar of the Lord, which I don't have time to get into, but it's a whole other sermon that needs to happen. Where are we at, church? We need to rebuild the altar of the Lord. It's time to get back to prayer. It's time to get back to seeking the face of God. It's time to turn from our wicked ways and seek God.
I don't have time to get into that. But he repaired the altar of the Lord, and he prepared the sacrifice. He's like, well, that's not good enough. I got enough. Why don't y'all dig a trench around it? And they dug a trench around it. And he's like, still not good enough. Pour some water on it. Y'all know the story. Oh, that's not good. Pour some more water. Now, in the midst of this, we have to understand there was a drought that was going on. Why? Because for 3.5 years, the old prophet said, it's not going to rain. And it didn't rain. So water was a hot commodity. And they poured water on the sacrifice. And he said, do it again, do it again. To finally, the Bible says that the wood was saturated. The altar was saturated. The sacrifice was saturated to the point it filled up the trench that they had dug around it. And then the old man of God just stood back and said, Lord, so these people may know that you are the God, the one true God of Israel. He didn't scream. He didn't shout. He didn't yell. He didn't cut himself. He just said, Lord, send the fire. And what happened? Anybody got some s'mores? Let me tell you something, church. Our God is still sending the fire. If you call on God, he will answer. And it's in the form of the Holy Spirit. And God is looking for young people. He's looking for men and women just like you who will stand up and say, enough is enough. It's time to call on the name of the one true God, the God of Israel, because he will answer. The word of the Lord says, call unto me and I will answer you and I will show you great and mighty things that you don't even know. You can't even comprehend the anointing and the power of the God that we serve. The word of the Lord says in 2 Kings chapter 1 that mom and dad had just passed away, the world famous mom and dad, we all know them well, Ahab and Jezebel. Ooh, look what they did for Israel. Turned the nation of Israel away from the heart of the one true God. What happened to Jezebel? She became Alpo. Read it. It's in the Word. Ahab, gone, just like that. And their son, Ahaziah, had become king over the nation of Israel. And the Bible says, if you go back to 1 Kings, the very last chapter, the Bible says that he was even worse than his mom and dad because he invoked God and provoked him to wrath and anger. Now, how many of you want to be on the anger and the wrath side of God? Not me. And the Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 1 that he's walking through his castle. And as he's walking through the castle, he falls through some of the lattice work and hurt himself really, really bad to the point that he was laid up in bed. And the Bible says that he called forth the messengers and he said, I want you to go to Ekron and I want you to ask of the God of Beelzebub if the bed I'm lying in is going to be my deathbed or if he's going to raise me up. How many of you have already seen the problem? There's only one God and his name's not Baal and it's not Beelzebub. See, church, there are young people, there are men and women in this world who are heading down the wrong path and they're seeking advice from a fake God. And God's looking for young people. God's looking for men and women just like you and I who are willing to get up and intervene. The Bible says as the messenger of the king were heading out to Ekron, all of a sudden the call of God went out. To who? That old prophet, the pyromaniac, Elijah. See, at this point in time, we have to understand the prophet Elijah, he's a little older in years. He doesn't get around as well as he used to. He'd already started the school of the prophets. The nation of Israel was turning back to God before Ahaziah became king. And so, you know, he's a little older in years now. But the Bible says the angel of the Lord came to the prophet Elijah. And he said, I want you to go intercept the messenger of the king, and I want you to deliver my message. Yeah. He said, I want you to ask them. He said, tell them that because he chose to seek after a false God instead of the one true God, the God of Israel, the bed he's lying in is going to be his deathbed. And the old prophet could have said, yeah, you know, God, I'm a little up in years. Why don't you send one of these young guys here? I got this Elisha kid. You know, there's a lot of potential in him. Why don't you send him? You know, I'm a little old. No, the prophet Elijah knew the call of God. He knew the blessings that come from obeying the voice of the Holy Spirit. And he got up from where he was. See, many people have asked me, said, Brother Dwayne, aren't you afraid when you're down there in Mexico? Why would you take that pretty wife of yours and those pretty little blonde-headed kids down to Mexico? And this is what I tell them, church, and this is what you need to understand, is there is no safer place to be in your life than the center of God's will. There is not a cartel in Mexico that can stand up to the power of our Almighty God. I understand the call of God on my life. See, I didn't wake up one morning and go, you know what, I think I'm going to take my family and I'm going to move to Mexico. No, it's because God called me to Mexico. I didn't call myself to Mexico. God did. Why? Because he knew that there was a generation of people down there who needed to hear the truth. So the prophet Elijah got up. The Bible says that he went. He heard the voice of the Holy Spirit, and he went, and he intercepted the messengers of the king. The Bible says that he delivered the word of the Lord. Church, it's time to deliver the word of the Lord. And people in this lost and dying world aren't looking for church people to get up in their faces and go, "You're a sinner!" They already know that. You know what they're looking for? They're looking for somebody to share hope. See, the Bible says in the book of Revelations that we defeat the enemy through the blood of the Lamb and the words of our... Who's the Lamb? Jesus. What were you like before Jesus? What was your life like? Do you remember? Some of you need to remember. Why? Because there are people outside the four walls of this building who are living the same life that you were living, and you need to be able to recognize and say, "Hey, you know what? I see right where you are. I see the struggles you're going. Hey, man, I see you're struggling with alcohol. Hey, man, I see you're struggling with drug addiction. I want you to know that I was right there where you were." Boy, how many more ears can you get to listen to you when you say something like that as opposed to, "You're a sinner! I was right there where you're at." But man, let me tell you something. When I surrendered my heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ and he came in, he cleansed me, he washed me, he took away every hurt, he took away every desire. Man, that's what they need to hear, church. They need to hear there's hope. They need to hear that there's a way out. There's a way of escape. There's a God who takes all things and makes them brand new. That's what they need to hear. Church, that's how we build the kingdom of God. The message of God is not one that's easy to deliver, but God's called us to do it, and he's calling you. The Bible says that the prophet Elijah went and he intercepted the messengers of the king. He said, "You go back and you tell your king that because he chose to seek after a false god instead of the one true God, the God of Israel, the bed he's lying in is going to be his deathbed." The Bible says the messengers of the king, they returned, and the king was surprised. "How'd y'all get back here so quickly?" "Well, en route, we came upon this strange-looking fella." What are people saying about you? Are you a peculiar people, a holy nation, that should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light? People should see the glory and the anointing of God on your lives. Just like Moses when he came down from the mountaintop after he'd seen the presence of the God. What does the Bible say? The Bible says he shined with the glory of God. People should be able to see the difference in your life. And when you begin to share truth with them, they begin to understand this is somebody who knows what they're talking about. The Bible says that he said, we came upon this strange looking fella who was dressed in camel's hair and had this big leather belt. And right away, Ahaziah knew who that was. He'd heard stories from mom and dad. That's the prophet Elijah. What did he say? He said, "Well, he said to deliver this message to you that because you choose to seek after a false god instead of the one true God, the God of Israel, the bed you're lying in is going to be your deathbed." Oh. And how many of you know that he was very happy to receive that message? He became enraged. He became angry. To the point that the Bible says that he called forth the captain of the guards and he called forth his 50 soldiers. He said, "I want you to go find a man of God and tell him to come down here now because I want to see him." Now, how many of you, if you knew that there were an armed guards of 50 and a captain of the guards coming after you, what would you be doing? I don't know about you, but I'm out of here. He didn't call forth the armies of Israel. He didn't call forth all his other prophets. He didn't call down the angels of heaven. Why? Because here's what we have to understand. It wasn't Elijah's battle to fight. It was God's. The Bible says that all of a sudden the captain of the guards and the 50 soldiers marched up to where the man of God was doing what? Ready for battle. Sword and shield. Here we go. No. What does the Bible say? The Bible says they went up to where the man of God was sitting. What kind of a battle stance is this? Depends. Do you know the God that you serve? I'm sure the prophet Elijah was just sitting there singing, "This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles." The Bible says that all of a sudden the captain of the guards and the 50 soldiers come marching up to where the man of God is sitting. And says, man of God, the king says, come down now. See, here's the problem. Here's where some of you are right now. The problem is you're fighting battles that you were never intended to fight. And God's saying, if you'll just sit down and relax, I got this. But we think it's our responsibility. Come on, God, come with me. And God's saying, he who fights for you is greater than he who fights against you. Sit down and relax. Sit on my promises. Why? Because the promises of God are yes and amen. And the captain of the guards and the 50 soldiers came up to the man of God and says, man of God, king says, come down now. And what did he do?
Well, okay.
No, he didn't give in. Church, it's not time to give in to the tactics of the enemy. It's time to stand on the promises of God. The prophet Elijah declared the word of the Lord. He said, if I be a man of God. He wasn't questioning God. He was declaring the word of God. Church, it's time to declare the promises of God over your life because you are more than a conqueror through Christ. There is not a devil in hell that can stand up against the power of our almighty God. He declared the word of the Lord. He said, if I be a man of God, let the fire fall and consume you and your 50 soldiers. And what happened? Remember, this is God's pyromaniac. Wish they had some hot dogs. Anybody got some s'mores? I remember when I first heard that story, I went out in our backyard. I was 5 years old. I said, I'm going to be the man of God. I know God's called me, and I'm going to be the man of God. I went out in our back porch, and I got a magnifying glass, and I found the biggest anthill. And I called down the fire. And guess what? God answered me. Because I set the backyard on fire. My mama come running out there. She's putting out the fire. What are you doing? I said, Mama, I'm a man of God, and I called down the fire. And God answered me. Be careful what you ask for. The Bible says that the king became even more enraged. And he called forth another captain of the guards and another 50 soldiers. And he sent them up to find the man of God. Obviously, he didn't get the text message. Don't go. Because the Bible said he marched up to where the man of God was. This is how I fight my battles. Says, man of God, the king says, come down now. You say, Brother Dwayne, what are you trying to tell us? Simply this, when you answer the call of God, the same God who calls is the same God who equips is the same God who will protect. And when you answer that call, that God will go before you. You say, what are you trying to say, missionary? Simply this, the enemy is going to come at you with everything that he has. He's going to tell you that I'm going to destroy you. I'm going to destroy your finances. You know what you need to do? The word of the Lord declares, you're going to destroy my finances. You're a liar and the father of all lies, so you can't speak truth. So I'm going to speak the truth that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. I'm going to destroy your family. I'm going to destroy everything that you have. Oh, you're going to destroy my family? Well, the word of the Lord says that you're a liar and the father of all lies. And if I be a man of God, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I'm going to come at you with sickness. I'm going to come at you with disease. Oh, you're going to come at me with sickness and disease? The word of the Lord says that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I am more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. If I be a man of God, send the fire, Lord. There is no sickness, no disease that can stand up against the power of our almighty God. Why? Because I've seen him do it and he'll do it again. Church, it's time to declare the word of the Lord because you are a follower of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And there's power in your voice. There's power in your tongue. The Bible says that the power of life and death is in the tongue. This world is sick and tired of hearing about sickness and disease and how the economy is going to collapse. It's time to start speaking truth. I remember one time we got an invitation. You say, well, Brother Wayne, aren't the cartels and the witches and everything down there dangerous? Okay. What do I have to fear? We went to an area called San Pancho. Pastor invited me to come, and I'm looking on the map, and I'm going, San Pancho, San Pancho, San Pancho. Where in the world is San Pancho? He said, it's near León, Guanajuato. I'm looking. I'm going, Pastor, it doesn't exist. He goes, that's right. You're a gringo. He goes, it's San Francisco del Rincón. I went, I found it. I said, why do you call it San Pancho? He goes, have you heard the story of Pancho Villa? I said, yeah. He said, his name was Francisco. Pancho is short for Francisco. I went, oh, okay. We get there on that Sunday morning, and the church is just packed out. And sitting in the back was this little woman in a wheelchair. See, I understand the power of the God that I serve. And I walk up, and I greet her, and she looks at me, and, "Ur." Okay. Let me tell you something. I've battled many demonic spirits before. I know what it's like. But I also understand the power of my God. I preached the word of the Lord that morning, and over 25 people responded to the altar call, come running down, gave their hearts and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I said, now we're going to pray for the sick. And the Holy Spirit stopped me. See, church, it's important to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And the only way you do that is by spending time with Him. Early in the mornings, when you get up, get into the Word. Why? Because He speaks to you in the Word. And then pray. And let me tell you something. When you're praying, it's not, oh, Heavenly Father, Thou art merciful and glorious. No. The Bible says He's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And the way you talk to God is the same way you talk to your best friend. The Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, hang on, I'm about to do something very special. I knew what He was going to do. It's exciting. I love to see the miracle-working hand of God. Why? Because it does something to your faith. Said, I'm about to heal somebody who has problems with their ankles and their knees. Call them down to the front. And so I said, hang on, guys. We're going to do something very special. God's going to heal somebody who has problems with their ankles and their knees. I don't know who you are, but God knows, and He's going to heal you. Come down here to the front. Guy gets up on the second row, runs to the back, grabs the lady in the wheelchair, rolls her all the way down to the front. And I come off the platform, and I'm getting excited because I knew what God was about to do. And I'm wanting to lay hands on her, and the Holy Spirit says, don't touch her. And I'm going, but Lord, the Word says that we shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Lord, I'm going to pray for her. He said, no, don't touch her. See, I learned obedience brings blessings and disobedience brings curses. And I would rather be blessed of God than cursed of God. He said, you just tell the pastor to take her right hand, tell the pastor's wife to take her left hand, and tell her when you feel the anointing and the power of God come on you, it's going to be a power that you've never felt before in your life. Get up out of that chair and take off. We didn't wait 10 minutes. We didn't wait 5 minutes. We didn't wait 10 seconds. Because as we began to pray, the anointing, the power of God hit that little woman. She got up out of that chair, took off running across the altar areas of the church, ran back this way, wrapped her arms around a lady on the side of the church going, there's no more pain! Yeah, that's awesome. But that's not the end of the story. Hang on. The expression on the pastor's face was priceless. People come running down to the altars. We prayed for everybody, and the anointing just fell a powerful way. We go upstairs after service, and we're eating some tacos and pozole and menudo and gringas y gordita. Ah, gloria a Dios. Whew, I feel the anointing now. And the pastor, he's all excited. He's all emotional. And he said, Brother Dwayne, brother, do you know who that woman was? I said, I don't have a clue. You know how many churches I preach in? I don't know. He said, Brother Wayne, he said, she's the leader of the witch coven in our community. She's the what? He said, she's the leader of the witch coven in our community. See, in this area, the mascot of the whole city is the witch. And they teach their children that if they're out after 9 o'clock, the witches that fly overhead will sweep down and pick them up and run off with them. So you know what happens at 9 o'clock? Everything shuts down. Why? Because they've instilled that into their people, the fear. The next week, she came back to the church. I said, honey, could you come up here and could you share with people what happened to you? She said, I came down to the front. She said, I don't know what happened, but when that big white guy told me that I was going to feel a power that I've never felt before, she said, that's exactly what happened. She said, something came all over me. She said, it felt like fire burning in my system. She said, I got up out of that chair and when I started running, she said, God took away the pain from my ankles, the pain from my knees. She said, I was having problems with my kidneys. God completely healed that too. That's my Jesus. Pastor said, Brother Dwayne, what am I going to do when my church is full of witches? Preach the truth. He now has three former witches that are members of his congregation. That's how good our God is. Doesn't matter what you're facing. If God be for you, who can be against you? One of the worst things that's happening in this world today with all the situation that's going on is the enemy has said, I'm coming in with fear and I'm going to destroy the people. You don't think it's happening? Watch the news. That's why I don't watch the news. COVID's going to destroy you. The elections are going to be horrible. What does the word say? Church, it's time to sit on the word and say, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. I am more than a conqueror through Christ. Declare the word. But the call of God's going out. He's saying it's time to rise up. Will you get up? Will you deliver my message? Because this world is looking for truth. And the only truth in this lost and dying world is my Jesus. With every head bowed and with every eye closed, out of respect for God, this morning, I'm not here by accident. I'm here by divine appointment from God. He has sent this missionary here because there are people here in this place right now. One, you're dealing with fear. I get that. And we're about to rebuke fear. But there are people here this morning who you're living a lifestyle that doesn't line up with God's word. And you know it. And God has sent this missionary here this morning to let you know he's given you one more chance. He's given you one more opportunity to surrender to him. You're not guaranteed tomorrow, my friend. You say, oh, missionary, nobody knows what I do. He does. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's omniscient. He knows exactly what you're thinking. And this morning he's saying, it's time. I've got a plan and a purpose for your life, and the plan and the purpose I have for your life is far greater than the way you're living it. Will you just listen to the call of God? With every head bowed and with every eye closed this morning, I'm going to count to three. And if you're in this place, you say, missionary, that's me. I know that I'm living a lifestyle that doesn't line up with God's word. Sir, he knows about your pornography problem. He knows who you've been texting. He knows. He knows what you watch when there's nobody else around. He knows. So if you're here this morning, you say, missionary, that's me. When I get to three, I want you to lift your up, lift your hand up as high as you can. I'm not going to call you down to the front. I'm not going to embarrass you this morning. I'm just going to pray for you this morning. Why? Because God's presence is here. He's calling, and he's saying, will you answer the call? One, don't be ashamed of him this morning. The Bible says, if you be ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father who's in heaven. And you don't want that, my friend. You don't want that. Why? Because there's only two choices, heaven or hell. Choose you this day whom you will serve. And on that day, you can't negotiate with him. You can't bargain with him. You can't reason with him. It's simply, did you know my son and did you live for him? Don't be ashamed of him this morning. Two, the Bible says in the book of Revelations, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. He's knocking right now. That feeling you're feeling inside your chest, that's God. He's saying, it's time to surrender to me. I want to use your life to bring glory to my name. So if that's you, if you're in this place right now, when I get to three, not to embarrass you, just to pray for you, I want you to lift one hand up as high as you can all across this place. You ready? One, two, three. Lift it up. Yeah, 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 yeah. I see the hand. Yeah, yeah, in the balcony. I see it. Yeah. Jesus. Jesus. God's calling. God's calling. Everybody stand to your feet this morning. Jesus. 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 I know some of you want to come running to the altars. I get that. Maybe you need to come find a place with God, but I understand what's going on right now, and we're going to be obedient. We're going to be obedient, but we're going to pray. And I want everybody to pray this prayer with me. Those of you who lifted your hands, pray this prayer and mean it with all your heart. Say, dear Jesus, I am a sinner, but you are my Savior. Your word says that if I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, I shall be saved. So I confess right now, I am a sinner, but you are my Savior. Wash me, cleanse me, and make me brand new. I receive you, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. Use my life to bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name I pray. Come on, church, lift your voice. Lift your voice and worship him. Come on, lift your voice. Lift your voice.
You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. And great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we
God's speaking right now. We didn't do this in the first service, but I got to be obedient that there are people here who need a healing touch from God. And I know with social distancing and things like that, we can't, you know, pray for people and lay hands on people, and I get that. But Jesus didn't lay hands on everybody. He sent his word. And the word said he sent his word to heal every disease. He is the Lord, your healer. So if you need a healing touch from God this morning, here's what I want you to do. The Bible says that faith without works is dead. So this morning you're going to put your faith into action. Some of you who have problems with your legs, God says get out in the aisle right now and start moving them in faith. God's going to bring healing. Some of you have pain in your ankles. God wants to bring healing. That when you feel the anointing and the healing power of God come on you, take off. Somebody needs to start jumping right now. Why? Because God's bringing in the healing. But those of you who are sick in body, here's what I want you to do. I want you to obey the voice of the Holy Spirit. God said it's time to sit down and stop fighting the battle. Let me fight the battle for you. So if you're sick in body, here's what I want you to do. Sit down. Sit down. Sit down. Sit down. Those of you around them, extend a hand to them right now. Begin to pray. And start declaring the word of the Lord. If I be a man of God, send the fire. And you're going to feel the fire and the anointing of God come on you. And when he does, and he brings healing on your body, take off. You say, what do you mean take off? If you've got to run, run. People who have problems right here in the middle of your back. God's showing me pain in the middle of your back. He's saying, just begin to bend over, begin to work it, begin to move it. Why? Because as you step out in faith, God honors your faith. Somebody needs to bend over and start touching their toes. Why? Because you're going to feel the anointing, the power of God come on you, and it's going to bring healing and restoration to your body. Start moving. Father, for these people who are sitting right now, Lord, touch. Send the fire. Healing, virtue, flow. It's your anointing. It's your anointing. And the anointing breaks every yoke. Break, Lord. Break, Lord. Sickness, infirmity, disease, hear the word of the Lord. It's time to go. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Jesus. Jesus. Hear me on this, because I'm just listening to what the Holy Spirit is saying. And I know we've got things to do, but there's somebody here this morning, you're here, that you buried your past and you don't want anybody to know about it because you were abused Somebody in here, God showed me that you were raped. And you tried to bury it. But God says, I want to bring healing and I want to bring restoration to you right now. Why? Because I'm going to take the things that the enemy has meant for evil and I'm going to turn them around for my good and I'm going to use your testimony to liberate other people. And when I talk about people who have been sexually abused or sexually raped, I'm not just talking about women. Hear me. Sir, God's tearing down the walls right now. And he's bringing in healing right now. There are pastors here who want to pray for you. There are counselors here who want to pray for you. But God says, I'm bringing in healing. I'm bringing in liberty. I'm bringing in freedom. Now, Lord. I'm just going to be obedient to God. Why? Because we're family. But if that's you, you say, missionary, that's me. And God's tearing down the walls right now. I was abused. I was beaten as a child. I've been sexually assaulted. I've been raped. Just get into the aisle right where you are. You say, I'll be embarrassed. No. God's bringing healing right now. And he's going to use your life as a testimony to bring glory to his name. Get in the aisle. We're going to pray for you. Touch. Touch. Yes, Lord. Healing. That's it. God's burning it. He's tearing down the walls right now. Healing. 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 If you're a prayer counselor, put on your mask. Go to those people who are in the aisles. You know what to do. If you've got to take them somewhere else and pray for them, go take them somewhere else and pray for them. That's okay. Pray, pray, pray. Freedom! Pouring in the oil. He's bringing in new wine. More. More. More of your glory, Lord. Jesus. Jesus. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Father, for your glory. For your glory. Father, there are people here who are called of God and they've been running from you. But Father, this morning, Father, they're going to be obedient. Father, there are some people who are called to missions and they've been battling and they've been struggling with it. And this morning you're saying it's time to surrender. The pastoral staff is going to get inundated this week by people who say, I feel like God's calling me to be a missionary. Come on! Be the greatest decision you've ever made. There are some people in this room, God's telling you it's time to step up with faith promises. He's telling you to give more, and you say, I don't have it. He does. He knows how to get it to you if he knows he can give it through you. Some of you may have to take your faith promises back and rewrite it and say, God told me to do more. Whatever it is, be obedient, because God's going to honor your faithfulness. He's going to honor you this morning. Jesus. Church family, thank you. Thank you for loving my family. Thank you for praying for us. Pastor Brooks, thank you for the invitation to minister to your wonderful congregation. It's been an honor and a privilege, my friend. We love you guys. We got prayer cards in the back. Ushers have them. Take one home. Put it up on your fridge. Why? So you'll remember to pray for us. I used to say put it in your Bible, but with these electronic Bibles, where do you put it? But if you put it on your fridge, if you're a guy like me, you'll see it 4, 5, 6, 7 times a day. And you'll remember to pray for us. And who knows, maybe some of you want to be on a reach team. Maybe even come to Mexico, where they have real food. But we love you, my friend. Thank you so much.